HelpAge International, it's a global network working in around 70 countries around the world, mainly in developing countries and emerging economies, essentially there to support and strengthen the rights of older people in terms of meeting their basic needs around healthcare, income security, human rights, and then also we respond in disasters to make sure that the basic needs of older people are met in disaster contexts.
I think you are the only NGO with this very singular focus on elderly people, aren't you?
We are the only NGO, and it's an awesome responsibility to have that upon us. We have, you know, over 700 million people in the world over 60 now. We will have 2 billion by about 2045, most of them in developing countries. And I think the challenge is for those developing countries to try and find ways to leapfrog and learn from what's happened in the more developed world to make sure that there's some basic health care for older people, to try and keep them healthy, make sure that they have some level of income security as the family structures change, and make sure that they're included and part of sort of successful societies and communities of tomorrow. Because one thing's sure, as the world has been developing, aging has been happening in quite a dramatic way around the world.
Now, today it's the 8th of March, and you have been awarded this large prize, the Hilton Humanitarian Prize, which I understand is the world's largest humanitarian prize, for your work, and specifically for your work with millions of older women. Why are older women the invisible backbone, as your release says, of communities, families, and food production?
Just what we find is older people generally, older men and women, largely are invisible or are becoming more invisible as societies change and as, you know, a lack of action is taken to put in place good policies to enable them to remain active and participative in their communities and in their societies. But particularly older women is a big issue. I mean, there's just been a UN global conference on rural women occurring in New York, and you can't find reference to older women in the whole conference, which is absolutely crazy, because it's almost as if once you become an older woman, you're not a woman anymore. And it's partly the question of where is the data to actually show what's happening. It's partly, I think, people are very age blind, but actually the consequences are very severe. So we see, for instance, in the context of HIV and AIDS, that around half of the world's AIDS orphans are cared for by their grandmothers or a few grandfathers, but mainly grandmothers. And actually the challenge we've faced is how do we get the mainstream actors that respond to the HIV AIDS pandemic to make sure that they can protect these older people, to protect children. So that whole question of the bonds and support across the generations, and then getting some action done. And then in the context of farming, you know, the message we're giving out today on the International Day of Women is actually many farmers around the world are aging. And there are two big challenges there. One is how do you get young people interested in farming so that actually all these smallholders don't continue to age? Otherwise, you're going to face a major food security crisis in many countries around the world. But secondly, how do you actually anyhow enable older farmers to actually continue to farm when they face some of the medical challenges that we all face when you enter old age? And particularly if you enter old age in poverty, you're much more likely to enter old age with a chronic illness. And so, you know, and yet you still have to farm and you still have to make, you know, meet your basic needs. Around the world, only 1 in 5 older people have a pension. So, you know, the vast majority, 80% of people have no access to social security. And that's a huge challenge, you know, as they continue to try and remain productive, and yet they face some of the challenges that do face older people linked to non-communicable diseases.
The fact that the lifespan of the whole population is getting longer and women have a longer lifespan means that women actually do make up the majority of older people around the world. And it's something, you're right, that people don't normally think about. I would like to think that my old age is made of a well-earned rest, but that's not so for, I'd say, the majority of people across the globe, right?
No, that's correct. And I think, you know, it's important. There'll be a big attention today in the world on things like reproductive health for women, which is a really crucial thing. And we are definitely argue for a life course perspective. You know, we want people to enter their old age in good health and, you know, have benefited from a society that takes care of our health throughout our life course. But the reality is many older people in poor developing countries, particularly older women, enter old age in bad health, partly because they've had many children with very poor care and support when they've had those children. So they have challenges to do with controlling their ability for when they need to go to the toilet. They have a whole set of medical challenges linked to the nature of what's happened in their reproductive life. And that's a huge thing that needs to be paid attention to and not seen as relevant as we're trying to obviously focus on, you know, younger women. I think the other thing I wanted to say on the radio was it's really important. One of our key partners has been a faith-based organizations, you know, particularly actually around the world, the Catholic Church is embedded into communities that face poverty on a daily basis. And many of our partners that have worked hard to address the issues of aging are nuns and priests on the front line, working in slums in Nairobi or working, trying to run older people's homes in Colombia in the conflict zones. So I particularly would like to pay testament to them, those frontline people who are working to empower and support older people in very, very difficult circumstances.
In April, you will, in fact, be receiving this award. It's $1.5 million. Where will you be directing these funds? Which are your major areas of concern?
Well, we want to direct them in places where they're going to make a biggest impact. So one area is continuing to build the strength of the network and the voice of older people to advocate for the change they need and deserve. So resources in building the movement of older people around the world to be able to stand up for their rights and secure them. The second area we're going to invest in is healthcare. You know, it's not good enough that if you're in a developing country and you've got a disease related to old age, like the risk of having a stroke, or you've got, you know, very sore bones linked to arthritis. You know, there are intervention strategies that could make a real big difference to the quality of your life and the way you can keep contributing in your families. And we want attention paid to that area of public health and more action done. You know, I've seen in Congo older women with diabetes in pain because they can't afford the $5 of treatment. And so, you know, there are solutions, and we've got to make sure that those are better access to older people in challenging circumstances. So those are priorities for us. And then lastly, what we want to do is lever the international attention to this challenge and try and bring others towards working with us in collaboration and in partnership, because, you know, there are probably 400 NGOs around the world working on children's issues, and some of those NGOs are probably 10 times the size we are, even one of them. And why is it we've only got one on aging? And I think that that's a big challenge and opportunity for us. How can we find a way to get the foundations and those that invest in trying to bring about good, positive change to realize that this global mega trend of aging is a great success of development, but now we've got to invest in it to make sure that all parts of the community can actually move ahead and succeed in their lives. We frame that, we call it the longevity dividend. The countries that are going to succeed for tomorrow are ones that actually value age and can see older people as relevant economic stakeholders, political stakeholders, and social stakeholders. Those that marginalize them, they're going to be the societies of yesterday.